Hello, property nomads. Hope you're doing well. Is leasehold dying? Is leasehold the way forward? This is what we're going to do in today's episode. We're going to dig in a little bit to find out a lot of the issues that are going on at the moment in the sector. There's always two sides to every story. You've probably seen a lot of articles recently about leasehold fees, ground rent fees, service charge fees, block management, and all the negative aspects in association with leasehold properties. And a lot of the mainstream media have done their best to, you know, brandish every single developer under the same, brush, the bad brush of developments as such. And, you know, that's not always the case with leasehold. But there are two sides to every story. What I would say with everything that we're going to go through in today's episode is if you are looking to buy a home, or you're a landlord, or you're adding to your property portfolio, the same rules apply. You must do as much homework and as much research as possible. You must make sure that your solicitor is as good as possible, because a lot of the issues that you see reported by mainstream media, yes, there is a side of unscrupulous developers. I'll hold my hands up to that. But there's also the side that people aren't necessarily paying much attention to what they're buying or the costs associated with that. And you have to lay the blame at either the person that's buying and or their legal team as well. Because again, a lot of the issues that you see on mainstream media are people that have been caught out or stung by developers. And I think there's two sides to every story there. One is, yes, the developers really shouldn't be, you know, milking it as much as they do. And secondly, when you're buying, you really should have a really good understanding of what you're buying, how much it's going to cost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what is a leasehold? A leasehold is basically, in layman's terms, you own everything within your home, but you don't own the ground or the land that property is on. With a freehold, you will own the land, you will own the ground, you will own everything. Leasehold, you pretty much everything that sits within the four walls of your home is what you own, but not the land, not the ground below it. Key differences with that is that with leasehold, there's different types of leases, there's different types of leasehold lengths, and there's things that you might have to end up paying, like service charges or ground rents and these sorts of things. This is where people are getting caught out, because there are, again, there's a lot of unscrupulous developers out there that are putting extortionate clauses into contracts, like, for example, ground rent doubles every 3 years or things like that. And that makes these homes quite unattractive in the medium to long run. And when we're dealing with housing issues, which I think is always going to be the case in this country, that we're dealing with housing issues, when you're dealing with things like that, that is really just going to exacerbate the situation. More importantly, though, impact-wise, is that might start to take the trust away from developers. And once the trust completely goes, then I think it's going to be that's going to have an even bigger impact on the property market. Because if you don't trust the developer and you don't trust leasehold, then, you know, that will take more people away from leasehold. Yes, that does create opportunity for people that want to buy. There's always that side. That means people are going to go more and more to freehold. Now, leaseholds are traditionally they're flats. That's not always the case. There are examples out there where you've got historically old leasehold properties. One of the properties we own in Burnley, that's got a what we call peppercorn rent. So we pay the freeholder about £3 a year, I think it is, for that. Again, that's the legal team went through that. That's a mid-terraced home. That's in Burnley. That's, you know, whatever happened in the past has happened in the past. But we've got a peppercorn rent that we pay, and that doesn't change each year. It's about £3. With more modern developments, and again, you've probably seen the stories, we've seen the stories, you have people that are buying homes, brand new homes, but they're leasehold. And this is where developers are catching people out with these extortionate service charges or these extortionate ground rents, where they're doubling or going up by 10% every other year or things like that. This is where, if you're buying such places and you're buying these sorts of homes, you need to be aware of what you're buying. You need to be aware of service charges, rent fees, and all these clauses. If you're listening to this and you're not aware of any of that, please make a note of this. Get your pen and paper out, put it on your phone, whatever it is. Please make a note to ask your solicitor about the service charges, about the ground rent fees, about all the clauses. You know, are they going to double every few years? All of that sort of stuff is imperative because that could affect your decision about whether or not you buy that home. There's a lot of older leasehold properties out there that are fantastic. Older blocks of flats or old buildings that have been converted into flats. 9 times out of 10, they're pretty good. They've got very long lease lengths. That makes life a lot easier. And there are service charges, there are ground rent charges, but they could be quite minimalistic. And they don't have massive increases built into the contracts. Again, I can't stress this enough. This is something you need to talk to your legal team about if you're looking at purchasing a leasehold property. Now, going on to, is leasehold dying? And I've got a feeling it will be, that it is slowly dying because the trust is starting to go. And it's not just all to do with service charges and ground rents. We've seen articles and things out there where you've got issues such as, well, dare I say, Grenfell cladding scandal, horrific stuff. Things just haven't been built properly. Things that were a little bit flimsy. Yes, I appreciate that building regs have changed and things have got better per se, but that doesn't mean things are being built properly. A lot of issues that are coming out at the moment are from more modern housing developments. And you would have thought that things should have been be built properly. I understand people make mistakes, but certainly with a lot of housing at the moment, it's not good. We've seen articles of, there was a few balconies, I think in Hove on the seafront that collapsed on a development that was done in the 70s or 80s. Balconies just collapsed, completely random. There's been issues in East London. I think it was in the Dagenham and Barking area, where again, there's been balconies collapsing on these modern developments of flats. And so this is where the trust is starting to go. Because if more people are going to be put off from this, that isn't good. There are also a lot of people that are trapped in their flats at the moment because of, again, cladding scandals or because of the issues with the leases and issues with the rent charges, shared ownership and all that sort of stuff. And with the advent of social media and the fact that people can get their news out a lot quicker and all these sorts of things, these people have a lot of power and can give these developers and leasehold a really bad name. And I've got a feeling it's happening at the moment, but I've got a feeling that's going to continue to happen moving forward. And again, we've seen what the power of social media is and what it can achieve. If the trust starts to dissipate in the leasehold market, so we're talking, blocks of flats and predominantly those sorts of things, then that's going to create a huge wave of pressure on freehold and regular houses. Now, not, as we said at the start of the episode, not every regular house, your detached house, semi-detached, whatever, they're not always freehold. We found that a lot of few modern developments are actually leasehold. If I'm in your shoes and that's an option, do not buy it. I would not buy that. I want the freehold if it's me. So there are a lot of issues at the moment. Leasehold, I think, is slowly dying a death. Not just because there's government reforms and things like that. It's because the trust is starting to go between people that are buying and developers and everything to do with leasehold. And once you get onto that slippery slope, and again with social media and all of these sorts of things, that can and will be very, very dangerous for the housing market because you've got people that won't buy leasehold. You'll then have people that are trapped in their homes at the moment and they've got no one to sell to because people won't sign up to whatever the service charges and ground rent fees are. And it's utter chaos. And again, I think both sides are to blame. From a buyer point of view, you've always got to be careful and aware of what you're buying, why you're buying it, and what all of these caveats are. That's why you need to have an understanding. If you don't have an understanding, then educate yourself. If you've got an understanding, use the best solicitor that you can. Never use the developer's solicitors. Please use your own because it's just better practice for you. Same with a mortgage broker, use your own. And also ask your solicitor about ground rent fees, service charge fees, length of lease, et cetera, even the cost of renewing a lease. What is it just in case it ever needs to be done? From a developer's point of view, stop taking the piss and stop milking it, because not only are you going to give yourself a bad reputation, you're then going to affect everyone else in the market, and that's going to lead to its own issues moving forward. I think it's very naughty of developers to be putting in such clauses of things doubling every X amount of years. It puts people in very awkward situations, and you're probably making enough cash by buying the land, land banking it, and then building on it anyway, and then selling your homes at higher prices than need to be in the first place for things that aren't properly, probably not built properly anyway, because people seemingly like to take shortcuts and so forth. So from a developer's point of view, you've got to have a slap on the wrist as well. And I appreciate there are developers out there that don't take shortcuts, that build everything properly. Obviously, I'm not having a dig at you. We've got to try and find a bit of balance in what I'm saying here. Wrapping it all up, is leasehold dying? I think it is slowly dying, and that situation is going to exacerbate because of social media. And I think both sides of the transaction, the developer and the buyer, there's a lot more that can be done to help the situation moving forward. But please, if you're buying the leasehold, if you're buying a flat or whatever property you're buying, please also always have a good power team with you. It's imperative, really, really useful. Just be very careful with what you're doing and why you're doing it, and make sure you don't get trapped like the thousands of people out there that have unfortunately been trapped in their leasehold properties. A small favor, if we can, please do head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe to the YouTube channel. The content over there is different from what it is on the podcast. Head over to Property Nomads on YouTube, like the channel, subscribe to the channel. That'd be great. Same with the podcast as well. Like the podcast, share the podcast to as many people as you can. Thanks for listening. See you in the next episode.